It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And on the show today, fresh perspectives on the things that stress us out the most, like having enough time.
Yes, that's your plate. All right, everyone, dinner time! Come on.
You know, we try to have family dinner a few nights per week, but when you have seven people, five children ranging from ages 3 to 16, can be a little bit hard to get everyone sitting down at the same time.
This is Laura Vanderkam. She's a mother, an author, a public speaker. Yeah, she has a lot going on.
Somebody has forgotten to grab a fork, or somebody wants to go get a cup of milk, or spills something on the floor. You know, somebody wants to go get extras of the pasta or whatever it is. And so people are popping up left and right.
Including the husband and the dog.
Sometimes the dog will start barking in the middle of dinner, which can add its own little chaos to everything.
Helping people cope with chaos is Laura's specialty now. But she was no expert back when she first became a parent and was feeling really overwhelmed.
It really does change your relationship with time. You have this infant that needs somebody with him or her 24/7. And then there's also things that you probably still need to do in your own life. Figuring out, well, how can I still devote the time that is necessary to stay employed or to take care of my own health? Will I still see my friends and family when I have this new 24/7 responsibility?
Laura had a lot of questions, but the advice she found on how to juggle it all wasn't very satisfying.
You know, a lot of what has been written about making space for both work and life, particularly stuff that is aimed at women, has been pretty negative, right? About how challenging it is to have it all or do it all or whatever people want to call it. But there are people who seem to be building careers that they are happy with, who seem to have, you know, fulfilling family lives.
And it made her want to know,
how are they spending their hours? Because they don't have any more time than the rest of us. It may be that they are allocating their hours in interesting ways that the rest of us can learn from.
After studying how hundreds of the most effective people use their time, Laura became a time management guru. She writes best-selling books, hosts multiple podcasts, and she made time to do this interview just a few days before Christmas. And listen, thank you so much for making the time.
Well, it was you and wrapping presents today. Those were the two things.
And Laura says the most important thing for us to remember is
complexity isn't the enemy. Chaos is the enemy. You can have a very complex life, but if you know where all the pieces need to go, then it can feel very orderly and in control. To me, that is the secret of being calm about life.
So let's delve into sort of the research that you've done in terms of studying those people. You often talk about the one thing that we all have, but some of us seem to manage better.
Correct. There's 168 hours in a week. And that's a number that a lot of people don't know.
It's weird. We say 24/7 all the time, but we never multiply it.
No, I didn't multiply it through until I started writing about this. And then I was like, oh, yeah, there are 168 hours in a week. And if a full-time job is 40 hours a week and somebody sleeps 8 hours a night, so that is 56 hours per week, we still have 72 waking, non-working hours. Mm. You know, many people are concerned that if I work full-time, I don't have time for anything else. But even if we're working full-time hours, even 50 or 60 hours leaves some time for other things. So when we approach it from that perspective, I think we start to look at time in a far more abundant way. And that's hard to see on a Tuesday when you're kind of racing home from work to get dinner on the table. But I promise the time is there somewhere.
Daily life can feel pretty hectic. And then there's a lot to keep us up at night. Global warming, economic uncertainty, how to manage when it feels like the world just keeps moving faster. So on the show today, we're flipping the script with new perspectives and some reminders to keep us out of that doom and gloom spiral and think more proactively about our futures. Laura Vanderkam says that before we move forward to manage our schedules better, we need to take a hard look at how we're spending our time now.
Because if you don't know where the time is going now, I mean, how do you know if you're changing the right thing? So I always suggest people try tracking their time for a week.
Here's Laura Vanderkam on the TED stage.
I recently did a time diary project looking at 1,001 days in the lives of extremely busy women. They had demanding jobs, sometimes their own businesses, kids to care for, maybe parents to care for, community commitments, busy, busy people. I had them keep track of their time for a week so I could add up how much they worked and slept. One of the women whose time log I studied, she goes out for a Wednesday night for something. She comes home to find that her water heater has broken, and there is now water all over her basement. So she's dealing with the immediate aftermath that night. Next day, she's got plumbers coming in. Day after that, professional cleaning crew dealing with the ruined carpet. All this is being recorded on her time log. Winds up taking 7 hours of her week. 7 hours. That's like finding an extra hour in the day. But I'm sure if you had asked her at the start of the week, could you find 7 hours to train for a triathlon? Could you find 7 hours to mentor 7 worthy people? I'm sure she would have said what most of us would have said, which is no. Can't you see how busy I am? Yet when she had to find 7 hours, because there is water all over her basement, she found 7 hours. And what this shows us is that time is highly elastic. We cannot make more time, but time will stretch to accommodate what we choose to put into it. And so the key to time management is treating our priorities as the equivalent of that broken water heater. And to get at this, I like to use some language from one of the busiest people I ever interviewed. She was running a small business with 12 people on the payroll. She had 6 children in her spare time. I remember it was a Thursday morning and she was not available to speak with me. But the reason she was unavailable to speak with me is that she was out for a hike. So, of course, this makes me even more intrigued. And when I finally do catch up with her, she explains it like this. She says, "Listen, Laura, every minute I spend is my choice. And rather than say, I don't have time to do X, Y, or Z, she'd say, I don't do X, Y, or Z because it's not a priority."
You're reminding me of a habit that I started, I think, after reading one of your books, which is that I block time on my calendar for relaxing. You know, I was always used to blocking time out for meeting, prep for interview, make sure you pick up the kid at this time. But to actually write down that I was going to relax felt very strange. But if it's just as important to me as all those other things, I need to put it on the calendar.
I think that's a wise idea, because if you don't do that, time will be spent one way or another. I mean, something is going to fill those 30 minutes. But it might not have been what you would have chosen if you had been a little bit more intentional about it. And so if your goal is to have more relaxed downtime in your life, then absolutely claim the time for that. And then when you get to that time and you're like, well, I could send these 6 other emails right now. You're like, no, no, no. Now is the time for spending 20 minutes relaxing.
Okay. So for people who haven't done this, how do you suggest they start being more intentional?
Yeah, for me, it's having at least one designated time during the week where I think about the upcoming week, what needs to happen and what I want to have happen in 3 spheres of life: my career, my relationships, so that means family and friends, and then for myself. I find a really good time to do this planning is Friday afternoons. Most of us don't use Friday afternoons well. It is hard to start anything new at that point. We are pretty much sliding into the weekend. But we might be willing to think about what future us should be doing.
There might be some people listening who think, these 2 women are insane. Why is it so hard for them to relax? Why does everything have to be so regimented?
Well, I would say that my life actually isn't all that regimented. But if we don't claim time for something, something else will claim that time from us. So this is a way of actively creating the life you want, as opposed to just letting life happen. Because for most of us, when you just let life happen, that means you're going to spend the time in ways that aren't that meaningful to you.
So a lot of the people you're talking about are people who have their own companies. Maybe they very much are in charge of their own time, in charge of other people's time. Have you also worked with or talked to people who maybe are not having that much autonomy, maybe are working multiple jobs, maybe not paid enough to be able to outsource some of the things that higher paid people can?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I study people in all different walks of life and have seen time logs from thousands of people now. And even if we don't have complete control over our time, we often have the ability to make choices about some of it. Maybe you don't control what time you leave work, but you might control what time you get there. Mm-hmm. You know, if I am not working on one particular day in the next week, that's the day I'm going to prioritize doing this thing. And I think having that mindset of I can make some choices, even if I can't make as many as I want, is just much more constructive. Whereas when you say, well, I have no free time whatsoever, there's nothing you can do with that.
In 168 hours a week, I think we can find time for what matters to you. Because guess what? We don't even need that much time to do amazing things. But when most of us have bits of time, what do? Pull out the phone, right? Start deleting emails. Or otherwise, we're puttering around the house or watching TV. But small moments can have great power. You can use your bits of time for bits of joy. Breaks at work can be used for meditating or praying. If family dinner is out because of your crazy work schedule, maybe family breakfast could be a good substitute. It's about looking at the whole of one's time and seeing where the good stuff can go. I truly believe this. There is time.
That's Laura Vanderkam. Her latest book is Tranquility by Tuesday, 9 Ways to Calm the Chaos and Make Time for What Matters. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, flipping the script. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and we'll be right back.